and welcome to your GCSE Economics Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you've pressed play today because the topic we're covering, the global economy, is one of the most fascinating and relevant parts of the entire specification. Everything from the price of your trainers to whether your parents' jobs are secure can be traced back to how the global economy works. So let's dive in. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to explain what the global economy is, why countries trade with each other, what comparative advantage means, how globalisation has shaped the world, what international organisations do, and how to answer exam questions on this topic to the very highest level. Section 1. What is the global economy? The global economy refers to the system of trade, finance, and production that connects all the countries of the world. Think of it as one enormous interconnected marketplace. When you buy a smartphone, the components might have been designed in the United States, manufactured in China, assembled in Vietnam, and sold to you in the UK. That single purchase involves multiple countries, currencies, and trade agreements. That is the global economy in action. A key concept you must know is international trade, the exchange of goods and services between countries. Countries export goods they sell abroad and import goods they buy from other nations. The UK exports financial services, pharmaceuticals and aerospace components. We import cars, electronics and food. Section 2. Comparative advantage. This is one of the most important concepts in the entire topic. Comparative advantage is the idea that a country should specialise in producing the goods it can produce at the lowest opportunity cost, and then trade for everything else. Imagine two countries. Country A can produce 100 units of wheat or 80 units of cloth. Country B can produce 40 units of wheat or 60 units of cloth. Country A is better at producing both goods. That is absolute advantage. But we look at opportunity cost. For country A, producing one unit of wheat costs 0.8 units of cloth. For country B, producing one unit of cloth costs only 0.67 units of wheat. So country A has comparative advantage in wheat and country B in cloth. If both specialise and trade, both can consume more. This was first developed by economist David Ricardo in 1817. Examiners love it when candidates can name Ricardo and give a numerical example. Section 3. Globalisation. Globalisation is the process by which the world's economies, cultures and populations have become increasingly interconnected. It has accelerated dramatically since the 1990s, driven by improvements in technology, transport and communication. The internet, containerisation of shipping and the rise of multinational corporations have all played a huge role. Benefits of globalisation include lower prices for consumers, greater choice of goods, economic growth in developing nations as they attract foreign investment, and the spread of technology across borders. However, globalisation also has significant costs. Structural unemployment occurs when jobs move to cheaper countries. There are concerns about exploitation of workers in developing countries, environmental damage, and the growing power of multinational corporations, which can undermine national governments. Section 4. Trade barriers and protectionism. Not all countries embrace free trade fully. Many governments use trade barriers to protect their domestic industries. The main types you need to know are tariffs, quotas, and embargoes. A tariff is a tax placed on imported goods. For example, if the UK placed a 25% tariff on imported steel, foreign steel would become more expensive, making British-produced steel more competitive. A quota is a limit on the quantity of a good that can be imported. An embargo is a complete ban on trade with a particular country. Why do governments use protectionism? They might want to protect infant industries, new industries that need time to grow before they can compete globally. They might want to protect jobs in key sectors, reduce a trade deficit, or use trade barriers as a political tool. We saw this with the US-China trade war that began in 2018, when the United States placed tariffs of up to 25% on hundreds of billions of dollars of Chinese goods. Section 5. international organisations. Four key organisations come up repeatedly in GCSE economics. First, the World Trade Organization, or WTO. Founded in 1995 with 164 member countries, its primary role is to reduce trade barriers and settle trade disputes between nations. Second, the International Monetary Fund, or IMF. Founded in 1944 at the Bretton Woods Conference with 190 member countries. Its main roles are to stabilise exchange rates, monitor the global financial system, and provide emergency loans to countries facing financial crises. Greece received IMF bailout loans during the Eurozone debt crisis of 2010 to 2015. Third, the World Bank. Also founded in 1944, the World Bank provides long-term development loans to lower-income countries to fund infrastructure, education, and healthcare. Its goal is to reduce global poverty. Fourth, the European Union, or EU, a political and economic union of 27 member states operating as a single market. Goods, services, capital, and people can move freely between member states. The EU also has a common external tariff on imports from outside the EU. The UK left the EU in January 2020, following the Brexit referendum of June 2016. Section 6. Exchange rates and the balance of payments. The exchange rate is the price of one currency in terms of another. If the pound sterling is worth $1.25, then £1 buys $1.25. If the pound appreciates, becomes stronger, UK exports become more expensive for foreign buyers, reducing demand for British goods. But imports become cheaper for UK consumers. If the pound depreciates, becomes weaker, exports become cheaper and more competitive, but imports become more expensive. The balance of payments records all financial transactions between a country and the rest of the world. The current account records trade in goods and services. A current account deficit means a country is importing more than it exports. The UK has run a persistent current account deficit for many years. In 2022, the UK's current account deficit was approximately 2.5% of GDP.
Now let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. You need to know how to turn that knowledge into marks. Exam tip 1. Always define your terms. If a question asks you to explain the impact of a tariff, start by defining what a tariff is. Examiners award marks for precise definitions, and it sets up the rest of your answer. Exam tip 2. Use the chain of reasoning. When explaining any economic concept, follow this chain. State the point, explain the mechanism, and link to the outcome. For example, a tariff increases the price of imported goods. This makes domestic goods relatively cheaper, which increases demand for domestically produced goods, which protects jobs in that industry. That chain earns you full marks. Exam tip 3. Always consider both sides. For evaluation questions, those that ask you to assess or discuss, you must present arguments for and against, and then reach a clear, justified conclusion. Candidates who only argue one side are capped at the lower mark levels. Exam tip 4. Use real-world examples. Examiners are genuinely impressed when candidates reference specific examples. The US-China trade war, the 2010 Greek debt crisis and the IMF bailout, the UK's current account deficit, Brexit and its impact on UK trade. These examples demonstrate genuine understanding and earn you credit at the higher levels. Common mistake 1. Confusing comparative advantage with absolute advantage. Remember, comparative advantage is about opportunity cost, not total output. A country can have absolute advantage in everything, but still benefit from specialising in what it has comparative advantage in. Common mistake 2. Saying globalisation is simply good or simply bad. Examiners want nuance. Yes, globalisation has raised living standards in many developing countries, but it has also caused structural unemployment in developed nations and raised environmental concerns. Always acknowledge both sides. Common mistake 3. Forgetting to link exchange rate changes to their effects.
Don't just say the pound has depreciated. Say the pound has depreciated, therefore exports become cheaper, therefore demand for UK exports increases, therefore the current account deficit may improve. That chain of reasoning is what earns marks. Now for our quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask 5 questions. Pause the podcast after each one and try to answer before I reveal it. Question 1. What is comparative advantage? Answer. The ability to produce a good at a lower opportunity cost than another country. Question 2. Name 3 types of trade barrier. Answer. Tariffs, quotas, and embargoes. Question 3. In what year was the WTO founded, and how many members does it have? Answer. 1995, with 164 member countries. Question 4. What does a current account deficit mean? Answer. A country is importing more goods and services than it is exporting. Question 5. What happens to UK exports when the pound depreciates? Answer. They become cheaper for foreign buyers, so demand for UK exports tends to increase. And that brings us to our summary. Today we covered the global economy, a topic that is absolutely central to GCSE economics. We explored international trade and why countries specialise using comparative advantage. We looked at how globalisation has connected the world, bringing both benefits and costs. We examined trade barriers and why governments use protectionism. We identified the 4 key international organisations, the WTO, the IMF, the World Bank, and the EU. And we explored exchange rates and the balance of payments. Remember, in the exam, always define your terms. Use the chain of reasoning, consider both sides, and use real-world examples. Those 4 habits will take you a very long way. Thank you so much for listening. Keep revising, keep asking why, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck.